Chapter 5. Josephine, are you sure you want to do this?
Of course I'm sure. I'm part of your family now, Charles. I'm in love with you. This is what I want. I would give up everything I have to be with you. Every moment I'm with you, I feel as if my heart is glowing with ethereal golden light. And the closer I get to you, the brighter it burns. If only you would touch me, Charles, and we would be consumed by eternal warmth. Please, I beg you, do this for me. Valerie talks about what you've done with her in the bedroom, and how you've made her feel, and I want to feel that way, too. All of the talk about how you are with them, and I can't help but imagine myself doing it with you, too. Ryan calls you her mate, and I can't help but see you that way, too. Your women may love you from the moment they step out of the machine, but I've spent time slowly getting to know you, and I want what they have from the moment they take their first breaths. In a way, I got to choose who took my virginity, but I never gave it to him in my soul. Let me give it to you. You're the one who deserves to deflower me, the only man I have ever loved.
In one swift movement, Josephine held the hem of her nightgown in between two fingers and lifted the silky fabric over her head. The honey blonde carried the discarded article in her hands and then gently folded it down beside her. Josephine's breasts were large and bell-shaped, with the nipple colored a blush pink. The areola around the pert, hardened nipple was so pale that it almost blended in with her skin. Her hips were wide, probably what some would have called birthing hips, and her thighs, flawless skin, rose to her tiny, natural, cinched waist. "Oh, by science," I gasped. I took a step forward and reached for the belt around my waist. "You are so stunning. It almost hurts to look at you." Josephine reminded me of the beautiful stone statues of goddesses I'd seen in a museum a long time ago. Her skin was so pale, it could have been ivory, and I would have never known unless I ran my fingers over it. I paused for a moment with my hands frozen on the buckle of my belt and drank her in. Gorgeous women always surrounded me, and I never really noticed until I got one of them alone in a room with me. Of course, my monster women were exquisite works of beauty. I'd made them in a machine, after all. But Josephine was proof of fantastic breeding. I was suddenly forced forward, and I chuckled under my breath as I realized that the heiress was using her mind control. My hands moved on their own, almost painfully slow, and my feet shuffled toward the bed.
"I've wanted this for a very long time. I think from the moment I saw you and Miss Browning that day in the city streets, I felt something within you that I needed and wanted."
"When we met at your mines, that's when I knew that I wanted you, Josephine. I already thought you were stunning, but I saw the way you were with your men, and I knew instantly that there was something special about you. I needed you to be mine. And here you are, with open arms for my love." My pants suddenly came undone and fell to the floor around my ankles. My erect member throbbed angrily against the fabric of my underwear, and Josephine's eyes widened at the sight of it. Her plump lips fell open, and an airy sigh whistled up her throat.
"Oh, my goodness! All of your women openly talk about how gifted you are, but are you sure it'll fit inside of me? No, what am I saying? I want it inside me. I need it. Charles, please, give it to me."
I stifled a grunt, tucked my fingers into the waistband of my underwear, and ripped them down as I pressed a hand to her shoulder. I lowered Josephine to the mattress and loomed over her with my stiff penis in my hand. The honey blonde's orange eyes fluttered closed, her lips parted slightly, and she opened her pale thighs to me. I glanced down at her womanhood and admired the wispy hairs of her golden pubic hair. With one hand pressed to the mattress above her head, I used my other one to open her legs even more and admire her aroused rosebud sex. The heiress sighed against the back of her hand and raised her hips impatiently. The lips of her vagina brushed against the head of my member, and the slick sensation sent shivers down my spine. I hadn't been with a human woman in so long, and though there wasn't much difference in their bodies, it felt so much different. With Josephine, no tails were wrapping around my wrists, horns brushing against my shoulders, or furry ears brushing against my neck. It felt almost strange to me, since I'd been with my monster women for only a few months, and a human woman's body felt softer. Maybe it was because my monster women were athletically built, with thick muscle under their taut skin, and Josephine was used to a life of relative luxury, but it could also have to do with their animal genetics.
Oh, Charles, oh, please, my skin is singing for you.
I chuckled under my breath, lowered myself closer to her, and pressed the head of my penis against the soft and eager entrance of her womanhood. The honey blonde squirmed underneath me, lifted her hips, and pushed me in the slightest bit. Her lips parted, and the softest moan escaped between them. Now, I'll make love to you. I thrust into her slowly and gasped at her encapsulating tightness. It felt as if she'd never been penetrated before, and if I hadn't known that she'd had a consort prior, I would have believed her to be a virgin.
Yes, Charles!
Josephine panted as her sheath trembled around my sword.
Yes, put it all the way in. Oh, I want to feel you.
I forced my way through her tight walls until my hips pressed against her smooth, hot flesh. Her core tightened and convulsed around me, and I felt on the verge of orgasm already. I held it back by breathing evenly and gazed down into her mesmerizing orange eyes. Josephine's hands reached up my sides, back, and then came to rest around my shoulders. The honey blonde gritted her teeth, adjusted her hips, and I plunged even deeper into her. I grunted loudly, twisted a lock of her silken hair into my hand, and thrust into her, as deep as I could go.
Oh! That's perfect! You feel me so good!
Oh, you're incredibly tight. I'm gonna go slow so I don't hurt you.
Yes! I'm spread open around your manhood. Oh, I feel so full of you. I needed this so much. I need you.
Josephine's body moved slowly in time with me, and we moved at a painstaking pace that was pleasurable but also maddening at the same time. I wanted to indulge and throw myself in with reckless abandon, but I feared the sweet reward would come too soon if I did. I'd been with a few aristocrats before her, but none of them had been like this. Most of them were feverish and wild, like bucking broncos, as if they wanted to get it over and done with the second I entered into them. Josephine wasn't like that at all, and I could tell from the distant smile on her plump lips that she savored every second that I was inside her. Doing this with Josephine felt as if I were cosseting in something expensive, which I could never afford, but the young heiress was willingly giving it to me for free. I gripped Josephine's large right breast in the palm of my hand and groaned at its softness. My fingers swept over the slightly bumpy areola and tweaked at her hardened nipple. As I thrust into her harder, I bent down and took the nipple into my mouth and flicked it with my tongue. The honey blonde's back arched, and her knees gripped me tightly as a wave of pleasure overcame her and washed her away. The heiress's hips moved underneath of me slowly, but never changed pace, and we gradually worked together to push ourselves closer to delirious orgasm.
Charles, does this mean that I'm yours now? I'm finally yours?
Josephine, you've always been mine, from the moment I laid eyes on you. Didn't you know that you wanted me then? That should have been a sign of the coming future.
Oh, Charles!
I thrust into her harder, gripped her by the shoulders, and forced my penis into her. Suddenly, I gripped her by the hips, slid onto the bed, and placed her on top of me. Josephine mewled softly as I stroked the outside of her moist womanhood with the tip of my member, and then forced her down onto it. I held her gently with one hand in the middle of her back, and the other on her right hip. I bounced her up and down over my shaft, until she caught on to the motion, gripped me by the shoulders, and controlled the movement herself. I grunted and threw back my head with a loud groan as my manhood dug deep inside her. I was close and could tell from the blonde's labored breathing and shaking hands that she was on the verge of exploding into orgasm. Josephine's large breasts bobbed in my face, and I pressed my hand to the middle of her back to bring them closer. I took her pink nipple and bit down on it slightly until a guttural scream rose from her lips. Josephine bounced faster, forced her hips harder, and slammed down on my penis. Each time she did, our bodies collided with an echoing slap, and the honey blonde leaned her head back with a sensual grin. The heiress's voice caught on my name and drew it out in a scream as her convulsing walls suddenly tightened around me. I grunted out of surprise but bucked my hips against her and quickened the pace. My hands slammed down and gripped her by her perfectly round ass cheeks. I forced her up and down on my cock as her walls shook with ecstasy, and her voice rose in pitch. The honey blonde's face almost looked as if she were in pain, but I knew that couldn't be true from the wide smile that spread over her lips. Oh, Josephine! I held her there and felt the sensation rise up in my loins. I gripped her hard, slammed her down onto her back so I was now on top of her, and gripped her wrists over her head. I plowed into her harder and faster than ever, and her tender walls twitched around me as if in a sensual dance.
Inside me, Charles. Oh, please. I want to feel it inside of me. Oh, fill me to the brim with your seed.
Egged on by her words, I plunged into her savagely and felt her walls part for me. Josephine certainly wasn't one of my monster women, but like all of the others, her body felt as if it were made specifically for me. Oh, you're so tight, I grunted through gritted teeth. I couldn't finish that last sentence as I was thrown forward in the peak of orgasm. My member tensed for a second, twitched, and then exploded my hot, frothy seed deep into the confines of her womb.
Yes! Oh, Charles, you're filling me!
So good! I thrust into her as I let all of it out, and I gasped for air as a gallon of my cream filled her accepting body. My pace slowed after what felt like a minute of my testicles releasing their gift inside of her, and I hung over her for a second with my hand still clutching her wrists. The heiress stared up at me, and we panted together before we finally regained our breaths.
That was beautiful. I've never felt that good in my life. Thank you so much, Charles.
I guess all the rumors that my women are spreading around are true, I chuckled, exited her, and flopped down onto the mattress.
Oh, I wouldn't call them rumors. A rumor is something that could be true or could be a lie. I've just learned that what they say is very, very true. So consider me a convert.
Very well. I'm surprised this is what you wanted to do, though.
What do you mean?
The honey blonde asked, sat up on an elbow, and gazed at me over the mattress top. I'm not sure how to explain, Well, I'll start this off by saying I don't see you like all of the other aristocrats, but well, sometimes I forget that most of those women have needs and desires. I see them a lot like my machine down in my laboratory. Something like machines, and, well, I guess I shouldn't do that.
But there's a difference between the other aristocrats and me. Most of the other aristocrats don't see sex as a pleasurable thing, though some of them do, especially those that purchase consorts or visit the brothels. A good chunk of the aristocratic class sees men merely as brutes to use for the creation of offspring, and that's that. I mean, if you were to ask me if I ever enjoyed sex before, I would give you a swift and resounding no. Until just now.
It's not even because you're an aristocrat. It's more... You're such a kind soul. So innocent and tender-hearted that I almost thought you didn't have sexual desires.
I am a woman, and I certainly have desires. I just don't act on them as much as the other aristocrats do. I've been trained since birth to be the picture of perfect aristocratic life, and I've strived to keep it that way. But what we just did isn't a consort servicing his mistress. It was two people in love joining together for the briefest moment to become one. You are not my consort, and I am not your mistress. We are simply two people in love.
Oh, you're very right. I've never felt this way before. I feel so powerful. You and your sisters make me feel as if I could take on the world and win. I know things are a little scary right now, especially with the Duchess hanging around, but we'll get through this. As long as we postpone the experiment long enough, we can make it through. And once we get her into my machine, it's all over. We'll never have to worry about her again.
I've known the Duchess all of my life, and it's honestly so surprising that she believes everything you've told her. She's always been such a skeptic of everything people tell her, but maybe she's blinded by her love for you, which is lucky for us. But how long will it last? Or will she believe it until the day she enters into the machine?
We have to hope that it'll continue like this until the day that we transform her. That is the plan. I glanced around Josephine's room for a second, and suddenly realized how empty it was in here. The only furniture in the room was the bed we laid on, a wardrobe, a single chair, and a dressing table. I glanced over at Josephine, but the honey blonde's eyes were closed for a second as she breathed evenly. Josephine? How would you feel about sleeping in the master bedroom? With the rest of us? As a family? I'm sure that the others would love to have you there, and I'm sure it gets lonely in this room. I know that you'll only be here for a few nights of the week, but I'm sure you'd prefer to be close to us during that time.
I would love that. I thought that to myself earlier when you showed me the room. I was actually going to ask, but I wasn't sure if it was my place.
You're part of our family now, Josephine. You're entitled to everything in this house, including your sisters and me. I'm sure if you wanted to move in permanently, the others would be overjoyed.
Oh, no. I couldn't do that. I'd love to. But as I've said before, we need to make sure that this looks proper to the outside world. If you are my courtesan, you're shared between Daisy Browning and I. It wouldn't be proper if two ladies shared the same courtesan and lived in the same house. It's practically unheard of.
Would you like to sleep in there with us tonight? There isn't a lot of room, and we'll all be squished together, but I find that to be the most enjoyable part. We all stay warm, we get to be close together while we sleep. Eventually I'll have to buy or build a new bed, but that's fine.
I'd love that, Charles.
Josephine grinned, stood from the bed, and grabbed her nightgown. The honey blonde slipped it over her head, bent to pick up my discarded clothes, and handed them over to me. I scooted to the edge of the bed, took the clothes from her, and hastily got dressed while Josephine grabbed her things. I finally stood and moved to her side, but paused as I passed the window. The room was dark enough for me to see onto the front lawn, and I spied something streak past the front porch below. My hands curled into fists, and I dropped low to the floor to peer out.
What are you doing?
Shh! I think there's someone outside.
What? What do you mean?
The honey blonde froze in place and held her things tightly to her chest. Her orange eyes flicked between the window and me for a second, and then she took a frightened step backward. I saw something. I can't be sure what it was, but it was too big to be a stray cat or a dog and too small to be a wild animal.
Do you think it was that person who followed us earlier? Who could it be?
Well, it looks like whatever it was ran off toward the front gate. I can't be sure what it was unless I go outside and investigate.
What? You can't go out there. What if it's that person from earlier? They could hurt you.
What else can we do, Josephine? Wait until they snoop around and find something on us? Or break in and try and kill us all? We don't know what they want from us. We don't even know who it is yet. I have to go out there and investigate.
Then I'm coming with you,
Josephine demanded, grabbed her housecoat, and hastily slipped it on. No, it's safer for you to stay inside.
It's also safer for you to stay inside. As you said before, we don't know who's outside. It could be a powerful woman spy here to assassinate all of us. Do you really want to take that chance? What would I tell the other women if you went out there alone and got yourself killed while they were all fast asleep? No, not happening. I'm going with you, and you can't stop me.
I really can't argue with you when all of your arguments make a lot of sense. All right, but you'll stay on the porch. That way, if someone is creeping up on me and I don't see them, you can stop them with your ability.
Fine. I'll only agree to it because it also makes a lot of sense.
Josephine nodded with a grin.
But I have to warn you. You have to stay in my line of sight or my power won't work. If I can't see my opponent, I don't have a direct point to focus on, and my power is basically useless.
Understood. Now, let's go. The honey blonde and I slipped out from the room quietly and tiptoed down the hall past the master bedroom. I could tell that all of my women were sleeping soundly from the sounds beyond the door, and I certainly didn't want to wake them up at a time like this. I was sure that Josephine and I could handle this ourselves, especially since her power was mind control, and as far as I knew, no one could fight against it. Once we came down the stairs, I peeked out of the window beside the front door, but couldn't see anything except for darkness beyond the drive. I quietly unlocked it, and we slipped out onto the porch together. The night's wind was cold from the fast-approaching fall, but I ignored it, glanced over at Josephine, and nodded to her. The heiress came down two steps, lowered herself down, and glanced toward the main gate of the manor. I silently descended the steps, glanced around, and then shuffled through the gravel toward the gate. The wind rustled through the trees, and in the distance, an owl hooted forlornly. But other than that, it was utterly silent. When I came over the hill's crest, it was nearly impossible to see Edenheart below, except for a few distant lamps burning. But they were nothing more than faraway pinpricks of gold light. There was no sign that anyone was outside, but I pressed on toward the gate. I doubted that anyone had been here, and that it was my eyes playing tricks, but I had to make sure. I did feel a bit better knowing that Josephine watched from the house, and if there were someone out there, she would stop them from harming me. I came to stand directly in the middle of the gate, and then turned in every direction, but there was no sign anyone had been out here tonight. I took a step forward in the dim light, and something rustled under the bottom of my shoe. I lifted the toe of my shoe, turned it, and bent for a second as I reached for whatever it was. I squinted in the dim light and realized it was a small piece of rolled-up parchment. My eyebrows furrowed, and I unfurled it, but it was far too dark out for me to read. I stuffed the piece of paper into my pocket, glanced around once more in case I'd missed anything else, and then headed back up toward the manor.
Did you see anything?
No, but someone was here. I found this. I reached into my pocket, grabbed the piece of paper, and handed it over to the heiress. The honey blonde stepped closer to the window where a single candle burned, unfurled the paper, and read over what was written there. Her plump lips pursed, and her eyebrows furrowed before she raised her head.
I don't understand what it means. Here, I'll read it to you. Akerla Outerbane, Northern Shire, Bruvendale Mile, Ametria Wexcomb.
What? What do all those mean?
Akerla Outerbane looks like a name. I think I've heard of the Outerbanes that live in the capital, but I can't be sure.
And the other names? I mean, the last one sounds familiar.
Well, it should be familiar. It's the Queen's birth name. The other two, Northern Shire and Bruvendale, are both big provinces in the capital.
So, this does have to do with the Queen.
Charles!
Josephine screamed, tapped my hair, and then pointed down the drive. I whipped in the direction she indicated and watched as a shadow broke from the forest, raced in between the gates, and then disappeared into the trees on the other side. My feet moved, and I ran down the stairs, tore off down the drive, and headed straight for the place where the cloaked person had disappeared, but it was too late. I kept running as a loud horse's whinny broke the silence around us, and a black horse tore off from the tree line where the shadow had vanished. The horse reared back, kicked at the air for a second, and then slammed down. The person on the beast's back held on tightly and gazed over their shoulder at me, but in the choking darkness around me, I couldn't make out their face.
Yah!
A gruff voice I'd heard before shouted. The horse slammed down to the ground, turned, and then galloped off down the hill. My heart pounded against my ribcage, and I felt beads of cold sweat drip down the sides of my face. But I couldn't let them escape. I knew from where we stood, we were still in Josephine's line of sight, and that meant she could still use her power, as long as they didn't move past the gate. I raced after them, but I was far too slow compared to a horse, and the beast's hooves pounded against the gravel.
No, 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 I grunted under my breath. Stay where you are. Don't move.
The beast and its rider blasted between the gate and then angled down the incline. When I glanced over my shoulder at Josephine, her expression told me everything. It was too far away for her to use her ability on the spy. And even if we tried to find them in the dark, it would be no use. The rider turned back once more before they disappeared, and I spied a stray flapping swatch of bandages underneath their cloak. I had no time to waste, and though we didn't know who was after us, we had a clue from the piece of paper they'd dropped. I turned on my heels and raced back up toward the house and Josephine. My feet pounded against the stairs, ripped the front door open, and gripped the heiress by the wrists.
Charles! Oh, I'm so sorry! It was too far away! I could have stopped them, but it was too far away.
It's fine. It's not your fault.
Then why do you look so angry?
I'm not angry, I shook my head. We need to wake everyone up.
Of course, Charles. That was a direct threat to us. You could have been hurt. I should have gone out with you. I knew I should have, and we would have caught the spy.
That doesn't matter.
Why not?
I finally realized why that person was so familiar, and I think I know who the spy might be.